So how are you feeling about the best game ever?
Oh my god, this is the best game ever. This is, okay, here, so here are the things that I've been saying to anyone who will listen to me, which having roommates is great because it's like you have prisoners that you can...
That has to listen to your words.
That have to listen to me when I am coming out of a video game hole and need to talk about it. Very funny because Vidya, one of our roommates, has played this game.
Yeah.
And is very excited to talk about it. The other two have not, and I just keep talking about it anyway.
Yes, rambling.
And fun thing is that Vidya never played one. So a couple of things that I brought up to him today, he was like, oh, I've never had that happen. Because, and we'll get into this more, but the default world state, if you open up Mass Effect 3 and don't play the comic or import a save,
dead, right?
Is that Rex is dead. So
an insane default world state. Really, it really forces you to be like, just lose a major character, and it's like, play the other games, and this guy will be in
which
them.
Which I like. I like that. Also, what I've been saying is that I feel that the overall writing for Dragon Age is generally better. But
yes,
the narrative payoffs that Mass Effect gives you
are outstanding.
Outstanding. Every single thread is getting a bow. I'm sure maybe there are some that I'm missing that have not.
Hey, baby,
and like,
we
I might eat those words.
Just
but...
started that as well.
This I know.
This is act one of a pretty centralized, like, this is a three-act game, and this is act one of a three-act game, and we're already getting huge payoffs for shit happening. It's amazing.
I feel like everything is coming back to me, and it is huge, and it is just, like, nothing feels abandoned to me, and it feels like everything that I've done over the past two games is getting a narrative reward. Like, even if it sucks, which we will definitely get into. So, okay, before we start talking about actual missions, I want to, like, talk about some stuff because I had more time finally to, like, actually sink in and play around.
Dylan, what are we even doing here?
Oh, my God. Hi, my name is Dylan. I've played two Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. Dylan is the most excited to talk about Mass Effect 3.
I'm so excited.
Dylan already talked about Mass Effect 3 for about 5 minutes before we hit record. And then Dylan was like, I actually just need to hit record. I'm too excited about it. Yeah.
I've also talked about it to the aforementioned roommates like 6 times this week. So I have to remember to say things that I haven't said to you yet that I've just said out loud to random people. Okay, before we get into the actual missions that were on our calendar, I had more time this week to play around and like be in the world a bit. So I've talked to everybody a bunch. And I also have gone to the Citadel a few times, and I realized that, like, your crewmates are hanging out in random places on the Citadel, and there's extra stuff to talk about them there if you're hanging around the Citadel. And also, there are people around the Citadel that you can go around, not just, like, inspiring them and getting, like, your reputation, but there are, like, people... There were, like, some people who were like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to fight in a war, but I don't want to be a coward. And, like, you can, like, tell them to go volunteer and help the refugees instead. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do all these things on the Citadel. That's so cool. What's her name?
Miranda?
I did see Miranda.
Okay.
Miranda's got an issue with her sister. She can't get in touch with her sister, and she thinks her father's up to some nonsense.
Yep.
She
says the elusive man did contact her, did a minor threat, but hasn't done anything big? And Shepard's response is, it's because you're one of the deadliest women in the galaxy. And she's like, yes. And yes. It's like, I love this chick.
She hasn't asked for our help with her sister yet, but I'm sure that we will just do it anyway. Mm. Who was our lady?
Kelly Chambers.
Kelly Chambers. I ran into Kelly Chambers. Mm-hmm. And now this is a thing not exclusive to Kelly Chambers. Tons of people just around the Normandy and like that I've met from my like former crew who are traumatized by the capture from Cerberus at the end of 2.
They were going to get harvested into goop. Yeah.
And so Kelly Chambers is so glad to see me, but is like, I can't come back because I have active nightmares and I am paralyzed with fear. And I'm like, oh, okay. Also, Dr. Chakwas. I walked in on her crying.
Speaking to the other crewmate on the ship, on the Normandy?
Yes.
Yeah.
The other crewmate, who I've learned, his husband died in the Reaper attack. He's losing it a little bit. My crew are in need of help.
Severe therapy.
Everybody is in need of severe therapy. It's bad news. But also, I ran in on the Citadel to Joker and Edie. Edie was like, hey, I think Joker is hitting on me. What do I do about that? And I was like, well, do you like it? And a fun thing that's happening with Edie is every time you like kind of allude to the fact that she might be having a human or mortal emotion, she's like, no, it's actually this very scientific like series of calculations that are happening that looks just like that. Mm. And then she'll go on to be like, yeah, but I do though. Like, it's so funny like that she's like, no, it couldn't possibly be. Anyway, how do I spend time with him more? I don't like anything. I just have these certain processes by which I can have positive feedback or negative feedback. Anyway, you haven't answered my question. What do we do together? And I'm just like, oh, girl, he's already in. Like, just go talk to him. And then I go talk to Joker, and I'm like, Joker, get in there, you dog. I'm having the most fun. I convinced my shuttle pilot to go and take a break on the Citadel. We watched some of the ships together. Because he was having a mentee bee about his dead husband, and we needed to get him to take a break so he doesn't crash out and crash my ship. I had a fist fight with, oh my God, so much has happened. James Vega.
Yeah.
Because he was like, when I went to go talk to him initially at the top of the week, he was like, he was still pissed off at me that we've left Earth and like that we, didn't stay behind to fight. And so we fought it out. We had a fist fight about it. And then afterwards, now he's calling me
Loka.
What is it?
Loka?
No, he's got a new nickname for me. He's calling me. Fuck.
Oh, see, because I can't remember what it is because. Fuck. Every time he calls me a nickname, Shiv is like, nope, you don't call me a nickname. That's not my name. You call me what my
Lola.
Name is.
Lola.
Lola. Loka, he calls the male Shep. That's it.
That's it.
He
calls
the male Shep Loka and the female Shep Lola, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, what is that? And he's like, oh, I just like nicknames. And I'm like, all right, maybe. But then he keeps being like, I might get, like, what did he say? He was saying somebody was hot, and then he was like, I might get distracted out on the field. And then he looks me up and down and is like, more distracted. And I was like, all right.
Pause.
Settle the fuck down.
There is a bug upstairs down. That I am sleeping with on the regular.
I am then, speaking of, I went to go hit on my bug. I went to go hit on my bug boyfriend. And we had a conversation about it because, like, I told you last week that we met on the moon, on the Turian moon, and we had this, like, moment.
A little embrace. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I go to talk to him. He's like, it's so good to see you alive. And then he's like, we never really talked about what this was. I don't know if I should greet you in a certain way or what I should be doing. Do we want to talk about it? And then I got oh my God, what are they called? The like little reaction timer thing?
Yeah.
It's called a React. Okay. Yeah.
It's a quick time event, but React.
The quick time event, right. Yeah. I got the React to interrupt his dumb ass and kiss him and be like, that's what we're supposed to do when we reunite after several months. And he's like, oh, good. I should maybe watch some more videos. and so now we are like seemingly fully romancing because now he's made like a couple of comments in regular speech dialogue that are like where I could tell that it would end with like, you know, like a normal ending. It'll end with like, you know, and more so, I'm glad you're alive, or like something dramatic like that. Yeah. So we're fully in like the romance plot line. It's great. I've got a fish tank full of fish in my room.
Yeah, baby.
I have so many fish.
Now, you got to make sure you feed the fish because the fish do die if you don't regularly feed
them. I upgraded my fish tank on the Citadel. I have an automatic feeder and a temperature monitor. Because I bought a bunch of fish and then Kelly Chambers was like, oh, I have all your fish. And I was like, give them. And so she's like, yeah, I'll send them back to the Normandy. So I have a ton of fish now.
Love that.
And I have also a couple of ship replicas.
Yeah, I got a lot of ship replicas. Yeah.
Really enjoying that. just by the way, I really like going to my room and looking at my fish and my models and dancing to my really stupid music. I'm having a fucking blast with it. Oh my God. Okay. I did some other things. I did a small thing on the Citadel where there was a Hanar who was like suspected of being indoctrinated, and followed that thread. Did you do that?
No, I actually didn't have a huge amount of time this week. I did our regularly scheduled reading, and then that was about it.
Great. This was not much. You just like follow. You get like this tip as you're walking through the Citadel. Someone is like, "Hey, I think there's a Hanar who might be causing trouble." You follow the thread, you get to the Hanar, and the Hanar is fully working for the Reapers. And is like feeding them information. And you're like, well, that sucks. And then you kill him. Well, you don't have to, I guess, but I did. I was like, that's crazy. And that sucks because I like Hanar. That is my one complaint. I feel like I'm not getting enough Hanar in this game.
I need more Hanar. I need more Elcor stuff on the reg.
Oh, deeply need more Elcor stuff. What's going on?
Deeply need more Elcor stuff. I will be having that a conversation with like an Elcor leader in this run. But in this game, I don't know if you can get it right now or if it's a little later. They say that they fight with like cannons strapped to their back and they would be really useful in the Reaper Wars. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. All right, so let's talk first then about the N7 Cerberus Lab mission.
Sure. This isn't a huge mission. This wasn't like top of our list. This is a taste of what multiplayer is. This is a multiplayer mission done in solo, single player. It's interesting because it confirms that Cerberus are all Reapers now. It's like you fly down to the labs and it's just like, yeah, there's a fuckload of Reaper artifacts and they've all been indoctrinated. Here is proof of that. And you're just zipping around, you're shooting, killing guys. Cortez is flying around in a shuttle.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's fun, I think, because I really thought it was going to be so simple. You like get in, you kill a couple of Cerberus, you find the artifact, you bring it back to the ship, and it's like, is that it? And then and then there's like a sky fight that breaks out, and so he's up fighting, can't pick you up, and so you've got to like
just it's cool.
run around defending. It's a cool, little mission. It's cool.
That is just what the multiplayer is. You create your own character, so you fully make someone in the universe. You can pick like a Krogan and all that jazz. Give them a class. They drop on a place. You're fighting one of several possible creatures. And you're trying to like help the war effort, and that's what multiplayer is.
And that's it? Oh, fascinating. Okay.
We are going to be doing a big multiplayer talk through, which is just like, it's mainly like what do we think the end of the game is going to be, but also we played multiplayer this week later, but this is just a taste of it. It's pretty fun.
Mm. Yeah, that was fun. It was fun. It was little, but it was a great little mission.
Yeah. And then do we want to do Grisham Academy next?
We absolutely must do Grisham Academy next.
Yeah, hello. Baby.
Hello, baby.
Now, I want this to be so clear. This is a optional side mission. This is the quality of side missions in this game. It is so fucking good. You go to Grisham Academy. You get into your shuttle. You're like, hey, there's a bunch of Cerberus vessels. Joker, can you distract? And Joker's like, you know I can. There is a sick fucking sky fight, like dogfight in space, as Joker is like Normandy, like contacting Cerberus and mocking them, and you're flying in via the shuttle. Grisham Academy sent out a big warning, like SOS, and then Cerberus answered it and then stormed all of it.
Can I check something against you? Is Grisham Academy the same as like the school that Cade and Alenko went to?
Yes,
is this the same one, right? Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah, this is the same one. Also, this is the one where we sent a guy who we meet. Anyway, we fly down on the shuttle. We hear this, like, these announcements from this Cerberus leader.
It's deeply fucked up.
Yeah, it's deeply fucked up. Really cool.
They're overhead on the speakers, like, as we're trying to, like, sneak our way in, they're overhead in the speakers being like, you know, the tide has turned in the war, the alliance has fallen. Cerberus has taken over Grisham Academy. Please, we don't want you to get caught in the crossfire. Just surrender yourself. You will be, you join our war efforts. Your skills can be put to good use. It's like all of this. And then as you're running around, you're seeing students get dragged by their feet and hair and like in bloody stumps by Cerberus agents. Like it's like the speakers are, it's so, it, the atmosphere of this mission is heinous and it's great. And then you keep coming across random students. The first two, I think, are like a brother and sister duo where you find the brother first and he's like held up a shield against them, but it won't hold for long. And so you got to come and kill them. And then he's like, my sister's somewhere around here. I'm not leaving without her. So you got to go find her. Kind of the same situation. She's just hiding. And then you kill everybody around her. And then they retreat, like, as you're doing this. And then, like, as you keep fighting your way, like, further in, we find, like, a bunch of students who have tried to hold their own against Cerberus here, with one of them kind of leading the charge. And these are, like, these are students who are all biotics of some kind. And so they have, like, these shield abilities and these different things that they can do. And, oh, I forget the leader's name, but he's, like, really trying to keep, like, student morale together. He's, like, these are kids who are training to be one day on a battlefield, but are still students now.
Yeah.
And so you have the option to, like, tell them to, like, go and fight or to, like, take an alternate path and, like, try to keep themselves safe mm-hmm. and alive. I'm like, I fucking can handle this. Stay alive and, like, meet me.
Yeah.
And we're fighting our way through so much Cerberus. A couple of really tough fights, especially when we get, like, kind of close to the rendezvous point. It becomes, like, an all-out onslaught. And the kids, like, put up one massive big barrier around them all. And mm-hmm. you're, like, fighting Cerberus against a kind of timer on that barrier where, like, eventually it's going to be too low and the kids are going to start dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the fights suck, some of them. There's a bunch of we get, like, it's tons and tons of Cerberus, but then it's also we get one of those, like, oh, what are they? Like, the giant mech things that are
the,
like,
Atlas.
So huge. Yeah. Also, I got a new gun. I don't know what it's called. I love and hate it because it doesn't take ammo. It's like just a stream of deadly laser.
Oh,
and
it's
it kills,
the Prothean weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. It kills shit instantly, but it has to, I think, recharge instead mm-hmm. of.
Instead of,
reloading.
Like, a straight-up reload, yeah.
Yeah, so then I just have to run for a while afterwards. But it is so good when you're killing people with it, because it's so powerful. So I was getting... I had just picked that up when this mission hit, so I was learning that. So there was a lot of me running away and screaming. Okay. Robin, I'm scared to talk about this because I'm scared that maybe I did something wrong.
Okay.
Because the barrier stayed up the whole time for the kids.
Yeah.
I don't think I messed up there. After we kill all of Cerberus and we get to the rendezvous point and we get so one of the students is injured.
This
is
fascinating
is
because I have had a theory whilst you've been talking. Okay. I don't think everyone lived in your Mass Effect 2 playthrough. Because
what?
Jack is one of the professors at Grisham Academy and turns up and fights with you and the students.
That can't be.
It is. Jack is a professor, turns up and fights with everyone. And you're fighting with Jack and she's, like, got this new lease on life. She is this, like, really aggressive professor, but has the respect of everyone. When that student gets trapped, Jack blows open the window in an act of, like, self-sacrifice to get her to safety and then runs, saves her, and then everyone bounces out.
But I saw Jack in my epilogue. I saw her.
This is Jack's mission. This is where you reunite with her. She's,
oh,
like, got long hair
up.
Now. She's got two shaved sides, but, like, a ponytail. She has a leather jacket. Yeah, she's, like, it's
oh,
a...
no.
Oh, my God, that's fucking
oh, no.
crazy. Yeah, she's alive. She's alive and is here with
Did
everyone.
Did you say she has a ponytail?
She has a ponytail. She, like, she has two deep shaved sides of her head, but then one, like, mohawk that goes into a ponytail.
Oh, she looks like Angelina Jolie in this.
There we go.
That's fun.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
That doesn't make sense. I The thing is, it's too late now to fix anything, but I'm wondering. Well, no, because I didn't accidentally start a fresh playthrough because Rex is alive. Because
everybody
else.
And Garrus is romancing you and all this.
Garrus is romancing me, all of that stuff. And I saw Jack.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. Yeah, because that is...
Oh, and I saw someone else. Who else did I... Oh, you know what? That I don't remember. Okay. Well, interesting. I'm going to investigate my save files and see if did something
deeply interesting. Yeah.
Deeply interesting. Okay, so what I was going to say is... Okay. That's something to
investigate. This is Rodriguez. This is Ensign Rodriguez who... falls behind because she gets injured.
She falls behind, she gets injured. The guy who's leading them like makes sure that she gets there okay, and that's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then I get all of the kids onto the rendezvous point, but Rodriguez falls behind. Our leader goes to get her. She makes it on, and then he gets shot.
He dies. Okay.
Is that something that I'm guessing doesn't always happen?
No.
Or maybe
Jack saves them all. She's able to save them all because she is what all the students are calling the psychotic biotic, and everyone is like loving her, and she's really rude to them, but they're really rude back to her in like a fun, jokey kind of like she becomes this like you know those classic like military officers when they're training who is like hyper aggressive to their
totally.
She's like hyper aggressive to everyone, but then also is in a. She keeps saying that it's like, I'm gonna keep everyone here alive, and she like loves her students and her kids and is training everyone to be a really good biotic.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
She like after you get out, you take everyone to the Citadel, and she's like, oh, everyone, we're all gonna get our first tattoo now. I'm gonna pay for it. Everyone's getting. Like tattoos to commemorate this moment. We're getting matching
ones.
That's
fucking awesome, actually.
Yeah, she's really fucking cute in this, and she does turn up and then punch you immediately. Being like, that's what happens to fucking. It's like, I told you not to trust Cerberus, and it's like, I didn't. She's like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to punch you, and it's like, okay, sure. and then. Yeah, and then you're like hearing stuff from her. She has like this big respect of everyone, and she's a cool lady.
Cool. That's
crazy.
Really cool.
Oh,
okay, so then
so
I'm guessing that then without her, you can't save everyone.
No.
So it's not an option.
It's
only not like
a
I
thing
did
with
a
her.
Different thing. I could have probably lost more people if I didn't save the barrier.
Yes. Yeah, you
would
have.
But
yeah.
Wouldn't have saved everyone. Okay. Fascinating. Okay, that's fun. Because I was wondering if that was like a... Because it didn't seem like there was anything else I could do that I was like thinking of across like the mission. I was like, damn, that's deeply upsetting. So then on the ship, as we're flying away, the girl Rodriguez, who had fallen behind, is like kind of losing it on me that like we didn't save everyone or whatever. And I have to like give these students a pep talk. And then we have to figure out what to do with these students. And there are two options. Basically, we can kind of throw them in and into the war because they have been training technically for that. The other option is to put them into like a more defensive position where they can do like, they can do boosts
biotic
and shields and all that stuff
for
other people. The kids themselves are kind of mad about that because they like want revenge and they feel like they want to be useful. But like, I'm just like, no, we need our, you know, you're the future. So we need you to be alive.
Yeah.
So let's try to keep you alive. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun. Cause so that's a thing where Jack pulls you aside before that happens. And she's like, these kids have to be support. They're not fighters yet. And then when you're like, no, these people need to be support, they're all still pissed. And Jack is like, hey gang, we need to lock in right now. When you are not support ready, we can still kill people. We just need to make sure that the most amount of people live. And they're like, hell yeah,
that's
Jack.
Fun.
And then they're all like, they're all, yeah.
That's
like
really
rallying
fun.
Behind her. It is fun though, because when there's a fun dialogue bit when the students are holding up the barrier after the first barrier, when they're all running, you can hear them over comms and they're like, oh, man, that It's really hard to hold up a barrier. And she's like, you think that's hard? I was in the collector base. Shepard asked me to hold up a biotic barrier for this full walk down, which is the choice that I made when I did. And then and she was like, and the whole time I was thinking, why can't the Solarian do this? I was like, this is great. This is such a fun. It's like, it's such a specific, you know, Jack lived after the mission and you made her do the biotic barrier down in the second challenge. It's like so many
there's so many references that had to that moment specifically. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So fucking good.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh my god.
No, it's very good. Oh, also, when Jack walks over, punches me in the face, and is like, "That's for I told you not to trust Cerberus, blah blah blah." You have this heated conversation, and then afterwards. She's like, oh, hi, Garrus, because I had Garrus. And Garrus is like, you haven't changed? And she's like, why would I? And I was like, yeah, those two are friends. It's great. They're like bantering back and forth the whole time. It is cool. I really love it.
It's so good. Oh, my God. Okay. So. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Are we wait before we talk about Sir Kesh? No, after we talk about Sir Kesh. After.
Okay, fascinating.
Let's talk about Sir Kesh. Because there's so much more like dialogue with people I want to talk about, but I think all so much of it is going to be about stuff about Sir Kesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so... I do want to talk about the fact that I did start doing searches around. I'm going to 100% this. I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah?
Like searching for, like, the lost fragments and stuff.
Sure.
I'm going to do it.
okay.
And getting chased around by
Reapers.
Reapers. And you have to fly, and your fuel supply is dwindling, and it's crazy. When you're in, I should describe this better because I didn't at all. When you're in, like, the space map, the star map, like looking where you're going and you're flying around in your little ship in this game, you can do like these little, you know, searches to try to search for lost artifacts or wreckages or just things of note that you want to research, things that aren't visible on the map. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally something will appear and you'll go investigate it. Sometimes it's a wreckage and that's usually fuel or other resources. And then sometimes it's like a like actual piece of information, like a new planet that you didn't know about, a starship or something like that. And there are like things that you want to, pieces of information you want to collect. Every time you do that, though, there's a bar that goes up of like Reaper awareness because like you're cloaked, but every time you do this, you're not. And so the Reapers start to take notice of you. If you do it too much or in the wrong place, Reapers will appear and start chasing you around the map. And it's funny, kind of, because you look like tiny little models and you're running from the Reapers. And as long as you jump to either a mass relay or to another system or to another star or whatever, then you are safe. But that if you run out of fucking fuel, you're not. I haven't seen what happens if you run out of fucking fuel yet, and I'm afraid to. I might test it out and see and report back on a dirty save.
Nice. Very good.
Just to see.
So we have to go speak to the council. Or like a council of people, not necessarily the council.
No, not the council.
We walk in, and it is a Solarian and a Turian.
We meet the
new Primarch Turian that we have just gotten on board, and head of the Solarians arguing with each other, and arguing with our little best buddy,
with our best fucking buddy Rex.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so we meet them on a ship that's off of T'Chanka. No, not off of T'Chanka. Off of
Sir Kesh.
So this ship is off of Sir Kesh. We meet there. They board on our ship, to have this little fucking meeting. Mm-hmm. And this is everything I said at the top of the episode about narrative payoffs, everything I said about, like, just how much they reward you for having played this game. So much of it comes from everything that happens in this mm-hmm. scene specifically. I was playing in bed and screaming because Rex is in this conversation. The Turians need Krogan help. What's the other guy? The other guy,
Salarian.
What do we know his name? I don't think we know him from anything.
No, he's just one of the heads of the.
He's just a new guy, right?
Yeah.
So this Salarian, the Turian is like, all right. So basically, Rex is like, yeah, I know you need our help. We've got our own shit going on. We're not the ones being attacked right now. We would be fine. You want our help? I got one fucking answer for you, and it's a cure for the Genophage. I want it, and I want it on my desk by Monday. And the Salarian is like, absolutely not, which is an interesting answer, because as far as we know, there's not a fucking cure. There's none that yeah. even exists. So crazy answer to be like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, I'm already yelling. I'm like, that's fucking right. Let me fucking be nice to the Krogans, please, Mass Effect. Let me be good. But the Arturian Primarch is like, hey, no, I agree. Like, I don't think we have one yet, however, but like,
yeah,
I agree. If we can do something to help you, we will. We need this alliance, and we will do anything to help get it. Mm-hmm. Salarian is pissed. I'm like, what is that? Oh, that's not me. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I under my watch, a cure is happening. This is what we need, full stop. So what do we need to have this through? And then the Salarian's like, well, too bad. We don't actually have that. Rex is like, false. I've got information that was shared with me by who? You'll never know. And then he's like, I heard that some of our Krogan females from T'Chanka, from way back in one,
Melian's. This is Melian's research.
When Malin was like developing all of that research, that some females had gotten captured and Solarians had taken them to research them. And these were fertile women, which is a, like, that's basically being immune to the Genophage.
Yeah.
Like, because the Genophage makes you infertile.
It's crazy because when we go through all of Melian's research, it's like, oh, well, all of the Krogan females died. And then this is like, no, they didn't. They escaped. Like, that's the big thing. Like, his research was successful, even though his methods were, like, barbaric and, like, weird and killing a lot of people and doing a lot of dark stuff. But he was successful in pretty successfully crafting a cure for the Genophage. Just not, didn't go all the way, but has, like, a lot of, like, very successful things. And that's all the information that we get. And we're like, oh, shit, that's crazy that he was successful in stopping it and curing it. And then we need to go get him. We need to go get the Krogan females. Sorry to this Salarian, but we just have to do it. We take a shuttle down with Rex. Rex is immediately apprehended because the Salarians are all pointing guns at us.
Oh, yeah. And Rex jumps out of the ship, lands, and is like, fuck y'all. and then I'm like, Rex, please. And he's like, all right.
Yeah. I wasn't like, Rex, please. I was like, do you all want to see how many of you are going to die before you stop us? And then they're like,
oh, nice.
They're like, it's not going to be all of us. You will die eventually. I was like, ugh, Rex, can we? And Rex is like, fine. But if any of you make a move, I'm slaughtering Salarians. And it's like, yeah, good. Fuck you guys. Yeah. Because also when we land, because the Salarian leader is like, fine, you can go down. And then when we get there, the Salarians on the thing are like, oh, that didn't reach us. Which, like, the message of, oh, let them through didn't reach them.
I think they said, like, we just got this message. Like, somebody, like, runs up and is like, we just heard about this. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like,
it's a bit of a weird thing where it's like, how much of this is actually...
Yeah.
Like, it just reached them. How much is the leader not telling them? How much is the Salarians heard it and decided to go against it anyway?
I guess. Which I think is great because it is the only thing that made me take a pause between stopping Rex. Like, that was just like, huh, I wonder, like, if we're being fucking messed with here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then we speak to... Oh, also, who did you bring with you on this mission?
I brought Garrus and I brought Liara on this one.
Liara.
I haven't brought James out.
I never bring James out. I brought Edie and Javik. Rex and Javik get on so well.
That's fun.
So much of their dialogue is agreeing with one another or saying something aggressive that it's like, oh, are you guys enemies? And then two sentences later, it's like, oh, no, they're best friends. They're just talking like the two most aggressive people in the world. Edie is also companion interrupting and adding in their thoughts in Mass Effect 3.
Oh, it's great.
It's the best shit ever.
It's
outstanding. It's Garrus so
also had a lot
good.
Of good dialogue here, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I think every companion has interesting things to talk about and say around, just like in all the, honestly, in all the missions, like even on Grisham Academy, like Garrus and Liara, who I brought with me, were always popping in with interesting things. Rex and Javik love each other. The Salarians doing little tests on things. We see the species that the Shadow Broker was also being experimented on and pulled through.
Oh!
Which is crazy because it basically says, doesn't even imply, because we know that the species that the Shadow Broker was, the original Shadow Broker, is a pre-spaceflight species. And has been told to just be left alone. However, someone took a bunch of them and then one of them became the Shadow Broker by killing them. This implies that it was the Salarians grabbed a bunch of them and, you know, have started because we see one being experimented on. It kind of implies that the people who took this pre-fight species and started experimenting on them was Salarian. Which I think is fun.
Wait, can I say something related to the Shadow Broker and this mission? Because before we get very far, when we're on here and Rex is apprehended, we have a chance to go talk to people while they're getting us clearance to go down, quote unquote, air quotes.
Yep.
Because who knows? I go to talk to Rex first with Garrus and Liara. And Rex is... like a little agitated about the whole thing, right?
Of course.
One comment he makes is he's like, you expect me to like just blindly trust you after all this time? Like, I want you to prove it to me that like I want you to actually fight for the cure this time. Like he makes these comments. And then he says, after all, I would have thought the Shadow Broker would have known about what happened to my females. Like, and he says that because Liara is there.
Oh my god.
And Liara makes some comment is like, well, a lot's going on.
Like, oh, shit.
He's like, anyway, get her out of there. Get them out of there.
Oh my god, that's fucking crazy. Holy shit.
Yeah, so that comment gets directly made at Liara. Like, like,
that's insane.
You probably knew about this and chose to do nothing.
Rex says one of the coolest lines, which is, I believe, is going to be a quote for the end of the episode, which is, you need us to get back to doing what Krogans do best, saving everyone from giant monsters. And I think that's awesome.
That's a good one. Yeah,
I love the fucking Krogans, baby. also, you speak to a few different people.
Yes.
Yeah. This guy called Lieutenant Tolan hates this plan. Hates it, is so anti-Krogan, is so like, you know, if we cure them of the Genophage, they're just going to kill everyone again. Very Dragon Age vibes. I love speaking to all these people who have such specific politics on how we should be handling the situation.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because I spoke to somebody else who had kind of like a different vibe. Not, I wouldn't say the opposite, but it was like, yeah, that was what we had to do at the time, but like things are different now. Like, why do you know, like, why do all this again?
It's
There's
some interesting stuff with Rex as well, walking around the Solarian. This is the Solarian homeworld as well. It's very beautiful. And Rex is like, well, no wonder that this is a weak species. Look at all of this beauty around. There's nothing to fight. it's just very fun. It's very fun. It's cute. I like it. We go to the door to get the elevator. Oh no, elevator doesn't work. Curious. We have to wait for a little bit. So we walk around and we talk to some more people and it's like, oh, it's working now. And it's like, interesting. Another thing which is very light, but I feel like it's people trying to sabotage us getting in. But we do get in. We get into the elevator. We go down. We see all these
labs.
That's
not what happened for me.
Oh, interesting. What happened
with you? I went to the elevator after we got clearance. So so we get clearance and then we go to the elevator. Elevator opens. And as we're about to get in, the guy who got us clearance gets a message that we're getting attacked by something, that there are incoming ships.
Oh, that also happens. And, yeah, that also happens. But
And then he's like, oh, get in anyway. Get in and go down anyway. Someone will meet you down there. And we hear the commotion, but we don't see what it is first. And then we get into the elevator, we go down, and when we enter, we are hearing like the comms from upstairs talking about them getting attacked by Cerberus upstairs. So like, but yeah, the elevator works right away for me. It's that I had to wait until we had clearance. So I had to like go talk to people until the clearance.
I may have gotten it wrong. Cause I went to the elevator and they were like, oh, it's not ready yet. And I'm like, oh, that's curious, isn't it? But we get to the bottom of the elevator. Who's there? It's only our best guy, Morden Solas.
Morden Solas, Morden Solas is working on like preserving and saving these women. The Krogan women who have been captured, and has made it like his new mission, and is like super determined, and is like, I am the only one.
He says the words, had to be me, someone else would have gotten it wrong. Love him.
Love him so much. Yep. Oh my God. But he reveals to us that in these like experiments, all of the female Krogans but one have died. There is one left, and boy, she looks cool as fuck. She looks so fucking cool.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You're
really went in there guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
She's in a holding cell that is like super duper locked down. We need to get her out, but then we get the official message about like the attack that's going on upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Rex lets us know. I think we tell Rex, if I remember right, we're like, Rex, there's only one left. It's safer down here. We might want to wait until the fight's over to bring her out. And Rex is like, fuck you. Bring her out or
it's
the deal
now.
Is off. It's happening right now. This is a cool ass sequence.
It's great.
All the way through.
Yeah. There's another bit really quick.
Tell me, because there is
a Solarian who is like in charge of moving this elevator up. Because you're moving the elevator up, then you have to fight up a floor of stairs and then move the elevator up one more floor, fight for the floor of stairs. But this one Solarian is like, no, actually, I can't have the Krogan female like go up because the Genophage, it's gonna like, you know, the Krogan are gonna get really powerful again. And then Morden electrocutes him and is like, nope,
oh,
we're
yes.
doing it.
Yes, you're right, yeah. you're right. Absolutely. Oh
it's
God, I love
great.
My boy so much. Oh, he's so great. And yeah. I have so much more to say after this. So then now what we have to do is so Morden is gonna follow along with the female Krogan and travel with her in like sort of a contained area. And mm-hmm. we are going to travel the long way to each checkpoint and manually clear them step by step so that we can get her all the way back up to the top floor where our rendezvous point will be, by which time we are hoping that the fight has died down and
done.
We can
yeah.
get her out. Right. And so this is another like similar situation to the kids at Grisham, except way more like elongated, where we are protecting the integrity of her pod against all the Cerberus fighters. And there are so many.
Yeah.
They are everywhere.
They're determined to stop this cure happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's even like, oh, I don't know if this, I was wondering if there was something maybe different about this per gameplay, but there's one scene that I got where there's a Cerberus soldier that falls and like I run up to him and he like starts to talk a little bit and I'm like I'm trying to get him to talk and he instantly dies. It might just be that that's just a scene that happens to everyone no matter what, but I was curious if like
that
there's a way
also
for
happen to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just like kind of curious if that's a thing that maybe goes in a different direction if you make a different choice or something like that.
It's also weirdly brutal because Shepard doesn't walk up to him to help him. Shepard pulls a gun and then walks up to him like she's just going to execute the guy.
Yeah.
Execute this guy like bleeding and not begging for his life, but he is bleeding out and it looks like she's just going full brutal on it. And then she like pulls the gun and is like, tell me what the fuck is happening here. Like, why are you all attacking? And then they don't give any information.
They don't,
like,
and they just die.
And die. And she's like, fuck it.
It might just be a bit of exposition that they put in, which is also cool, but I was just curious if there was,
it
like...
It is cool. I like
a
it.
A different,
yeah.
like, if that always goes that way, if there's something else that happens. At a...
They are also like, there are like scenes of them shooting into the pod and then Morden is ducking and then like, because
yes.
it's Morden and the Krogan female and Morden's like shooting out of the pod and like ducking and diving and doing all this like cool shit. Rex is like, what the fuck is a Solarian doing in there? And is like confused as to why Morden is helping and doesn't trust Morden at all.
Yeah.
Morden reveals, hey, how do you think you got the information?
Right, Morden is the inside man.
He's the inside man who told Rex. Yep, it's fucking crazy. It's the coolest shit ever.
I love him!
You get up to the top floor. Then the Krogan female gets out grabs Rex's shotgun, shoots two Cerberus people who are running. Oh, go on.
Wait,
you go.
First, Rex offers a hand to help her out of the pod. She pushes him, takes his gun, and then kills three Cerberus agents, and then gives him his gun back.
And then Rex says one of the funniest lines, which is, women. Yeah. It's like, obviously, that's his fucking line. So stupid. I love my boy.
So stupid.
And then everyone gets onto the shuttle. Everyone gets onto the shuttle. Cortez flies you all away. The Normandy now has three new passengers of the Quogan female, who is now called Eve.
Morden gives her that name because he felt that human mythology would be appropriate. For her as the last surviving female Krogan. I want to kiss him on the mouth a little bit.
I know, I love him so much. Eve, Rex, and Morden all join the Normandy together. Yep. Rex and Morden not companions in this.
Not
one,
as companions, right. But they are there on the ship.
Advisors and people on the ship. Admittedly, both of them are way too busy to go on like small missions. Morden is trying to save all of the Krogan. Rex is trying to save all the Krogan.
We learn that Morden needs a sample from Rex, like tissue samples from Rex, to use alongside his research on Eve. So he's moved in to the med bay, and so Dr. Chakwas has moved into the crew quarters, which is where we find her crying
and trauma
later.
In
our debrief of all of this, both the Primarch and Rex reveal that something has gone wrong with somebody among their people. There was a Turian ship that crashed on T'Chanka, and there's a T'Chankan clan missing. Is that what it is?
There's a Turian platoon who are on T'Chanka. T'Chanka is also being invaded by Reapers. Those are what I picked up off the
but they're also it's funny because we have this debrief about everything, and then both of them are like, hey, there's something I need to talk about to you in private, not near these people. And then you go talk to them. The Turian's thing, super suspicious. He's like, the people that have gone missing in this crash are very important. We have to find them, and it's a matter of galactic peace, and he won't tell you anything else. And I am big suspicious about what this is going to reveal when we find it out. Rex, we learn, is apparently trying to bed every female Krogan that he comes across.
Yep.
We learn that from Eve. Eve and Morden have a bit of a vibe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They've got a vibe happening. And I love it. It's crazy. I'm fascinated.
She's fucking cool. Loads of shit. She is a shaman. The way that you become a shaman is you get locked in a
cave.
You essentially get stranded in a cave with exactly 7 days worth of food. On the eighth day, you'll die, and you have to not do that. And she says she finds this like weird crystal thing and starts digging in the wrong direction, is what she says. And it's this whole thing about how she was able to survive by, you know, no one thought she would survive. It's a whole thing that's like kind of related to what Shepard's doing with the Reapers. Digging the wrong way, trying things that that people just imagine that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
She thinks Morden is great. Morden also told her that he perfected the Genophage.
Yes.
And she's he's fixing it though. This is like the most affected person by this has forgiven Morden for doing this, because she's like, oh, I've been watching him over the past several months whilst I've been in Sirkesh.
She tells Rex this one's different.
Yeah.
Because Rex makes a comment about Salarians and she says, no, he's different.
Yeah.
And Morden, when you talk to him about it, he's like, it was the right decision at the time. This is the right decision now. Like,
he's just the best. He's just the best fucking guy.
Oh my God. Like, amazing guy. Funny, also Salarian related thing is that, fuck, what is our friend who is a Prothean's name again?
Javik.
Javik keeps making comments about how Salarians have come so far, specifically, genetically. Because when you first mentioned Salarians to him, like right after you pick him up,
they were still eating bugs.
He's like, the lizards are a people now? And you're like, I think they're amphibian. He says, they used to eat bugs. And so now I run into him on the ship like a little while ago, and I just got some like ambient dialogue from him or whatever. And as I was walking away, he goes, did I tell you that the Salarians used to lick their eyeballs? And I just think it's so funny that he, like, this specific line of reveal that, like, he's just having a hard time. Like, he makes other comments about other species.
It's us going 50,000 years into the future, and then it's like, did you know that frogs are a sentient species? Like, frogs are a sentient species? Like, fully.
The frogs? Like, frogs from Earth? Yeah. Because he makes comments about other things. He makes comments about, Liara. What is Liara? Sorry, my
Asari.
He makes some comments about the Asari and how they've evolved. He makes some comments about humans for sure, but the funniest ones are always the comments about Salarians.
Like, how are these the most intelligent race in the universe? Doesn't make any sense. They're bug people.
That's a bug.
There is, I actually, speaking of Javik, walking around, I've walked into Javik talking to Liara a lot.
Oh, a
bunch
of times,
people are talking on comms. Like, they don't, they're not normally in the same room. They're normally talking on comms. I did walk into Liara and Rex having an argument. Rex specifically about, like, hey, so you're the Shadow Broker. Why is XYZ with information?
Oh, I didn't walk on them having an argument, but I did walk on them having a conversation about, something. Fuck, I don't remember. Anyway, okay. You go.
But it's fun hearing, because there's this whole thing with Liara and how Protheans are her entire life. And if you go to the Shadow Broker, you walk into her talking to Javik. I went back and then I spoke to Liara personally, and then I looked at her like Shadow Broker terminal, where she has a bunch of notes of her, like, not unraveling, but her, like, real big excitement. Protheans, oh my God, I can't believe there's a Prothean in real life. This is the greatest discovery ever. To, like, message 3, where she's like, this is an imperial empire. They were a vicious, cruel people. They didn't invent anything we thought they invented. They were just evil and ran the galaxy.
Took everything.
And she's like, Javik would kill all of us to bring them back. Like, everyone in the galaxy would just exterminate us. If they were around at the time, we wouldn't have the possibility to do anything about it, because they were so vicious and all this. And it's like, it's so fun seeing this, like, realization from her with this, like, huge earth-shattering information, and how it makes her colder to discovery and excitement and stuff, and she's like less excited by
I mean this is the thing that she studied her whole life. Like, it's a big don't meet your heroes thing. Like, you know, like, she because like every time you walk in on a Javik, or at least so far for me, that's been the case. She's been on the line with him, asking him questions, incessant mm-hmm. questions, to the point where he's like, does she ever stop? And you're like, calm down. You're the last living Prothean, and she's a research scientist. Will you?
Yeah.
like this is huge. Tell me more about how the Salarians used to lick their eyeballs. Like, this is humongous. So we hear her like asking him all these questions, like trying to dig into all this, because this is her whole thing from day one. We've known that this is her favorite subject in the world. And then she meets him, and obviously she's getting so much information. It's just that the image of all of her research is destroyed. They were not the creators of all these things. They were not this like supremely intelligent, like unbelievable race of beings. They were the strongest
mm-hmm.
and the most brutal. And yeah. they took everything else. And that is like, it's just like, it's deeply flawed and bad and like, and to be expected in a way, for like a race that would survive in that way, or like be remembered in that way. But it is just such a disappointment to her, and like, oh, like, which is interesting because she's now the shadow broker. She has a new thing now. She's not just a research scientist, yeah. right? Like,
yeah, that she's one was of the most the powerful last... information people in the world. The
yeah, galaxy. But like yeah. that was her former life, was researching these people, and like that. I don't know. It just made me. It's like it's real. I think it's very real to like be disappointed by the reality of something. Versus what you kind of the narrative you created based on the scraps you can find around,
yeah,
you know, the yeah. universe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, the thing I had with Jovic and Liara is Liara saying, yes, yeah, so we found out that they were called collectors, and that's what the Reapers turned the Protheans into. And then Jarvik said, oh, did any of them survive? Oh, not did any of them survive, but it's like, did you speak to any of them? And then Liara said, no, we didn't have a chance. Shepard killed them as soon as we saw them. And Jarvik's like,
oh, yes, I got this.
That's a mercy yeah. kill. I like that. I then spoke to Jarvik, and then he said, he actually said an interesting thing of, it's funny how the Reapers made you think that we built all of the Mass Effect relays. They're... control of this situation is outstanding.
Yeah,
like their control of everything by just being like, oh no, it was these guys, oh my god, these guys are so powerful. So then when the war happens, they're like, cool, I'm just gonna turn everything off, I'm gonna fuck you guys beyond belief, is really it's great. What a yeah. cool what a cool little conversation that you have. It's very ambient. It's not like specific. And then it went to Liara.
No. Yeah, I got that.
And then Liara speaks about how she talks about how the Protheans fought the Reapers for centuries, and they were more brutal and tactical than we will ever be currently in the galaxy.
Yeah.
So it might not last that long. But Liara says, I'm only 109. I'm going to see the end of this fight. Because she has a 1,000-year lifespan. She's like, it's pretty likely that I'm gonna watch the extinction of everything if we fail. And then talks yeah. about how good Shepard is, and how it's if Shepard fails, she's going to watch the extinction of every form of life right. in the galaxy. And it's like, yeah, that goes crazy. And then I had a moment where Shepard could have said, oh, well, we're not going to, because I'm going to kill them for you. Or say, yeah, you're lucky I was here. And then Shiv said, yeah, you're lucky I was here.
Nice.
It would have happened.
I don't think I got this bit.
It would have happened. She specifically says, yeah, they would have come through years ago if I weren't present. And I was like, yep, that's true. And I was like, yep,
that is true. That yeah. is true.
I liked that bit of, I'm hardening Shiv in this.
You are.
In this politic game, Shiv is like, I just don't have time for people not standing up for something. It's frustrating her now.
I'm softening Ani, I think, is the thing. Ani is like, just from the beginning intro of this game, I think that the importance of, and also the importance of keeping our humanity, our morality versus the way, and especially, I think that was how I started the game, like, was this like, okay, like, Ani had this thing about people surviving, like, why didn't you fight harder? Why didn't you, you know, why are you the only one that survived? Because it was her own guilt. But now it's like, there is no time for that. And that was something that kicked in right at the start of this game, where it was like, there is no time for me to feel this fucking guilt. There is no time for me to be pissed at people. Like, everybody is suffering and everybody is going to die. Like, we have to get together. But especially after learning that what the Protheans did was act as brutally as possible and kill everyone in their way to face the Reapers, and they failed, Ani was like, I was on that path a little bit. Like,
yeah.
It didn't work for them. Like, as much as Javik wants to claim that they were
successful, they weren't in any
right,
way.
They fucking weren't. Like, so we're going to win. And we're going to do it by getting these people to fucking cooperate. That's why I was like, Rex, try diplomacy for me, pretty please.
one little
diplomacy. Oh my God. Babe, I love this game. I love this game. And every minute of 1 and 2, where I look back and I was like, oh, this is a bit of a slog or whatever, every bit of it mattered so much.
Oh my God.
What?
Completely forgot. Grisham Academy. One of the people that we meet is David. Is David from the DLC that we did at the end of 2?
Oh, we meet David again. Yes.
And he is fixing stuff up and just talking. No longer tortured, just is a normal guy now.
Normal guy
can speak, and you're like, oh shit, it's so nice to meet you. And he's like, it's nice to see you again. Thank you so much.
Forgot about that. Oh my God. Yeah,
crazy. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. It's just that's what
no. I mean, it's kind of connected to what I was saying in a way, because like everything matters in a great way. It's excellent. It's just excellent.
Game. Yeah. No, it's truly. It's so good. It makes me feel sick. Speaking of being so good, next week is the end of Act 1. We're doing all of Tuchanka.
I know. I'm so excited about Tuchanka. I'm so excited. Literally, I will tell you right now, if I open up my game right now, my ship is parked outside Tuchanka.
This is one of the bits, which is, it's hard for me, because I have had a dream since the beginning of Mass Effect 1 where you finish the last mission of Tuchanka, and we record 10 minutes later.
Understood. I understand.
All right.
I know what's asked of me. Okay. Great.
Well, gang, next week is all of Tuchanka. Mm-hmm. So stoked for you all to hear it. So stoked to hear all Dylan's thoughts on it. But in the meantime, we're going to do what Krogans do best.
Saving everyone from giant monsters.
Oh, baby!
Ow!